Good morning, and welcome to the West Valley News Digest. It's Saturday, August 22nd, 2026. I'm Karen Kelly, your volunteer reader. I'll be starting out with news first from the West Valley View, which covers Buckeye, Avondale, Goodyear, and Tolleson. I'll then be covering news out of Wickenburg from the Wickenburg Sun. And at the bottom of the hour, we'll be covering news from Glendale, Peoria, and Surprise. So let's get started with news from westvalleyview.com. Our first article is Lopez Takes Helm of Goodyear Parks. This article is by Joshua Fenty, West Valley View staff writer. When David Lopez set out to become Parks and Recreation Director for the city of Goodyear, he said he was drawn to the potential the area showed as one of the fastest-growing cities in the United States. Beyond all of its merits, what truly sold him, he said, was the strategic and community-focused leadership demonstrated by Goodyear's officials. Goodyear has really emerged as a city on a hill that's grown responsibly and understands the importance of quality of life for residents and for a safe, healthy, and vibrant community, Lopez said. Ultimately, it was seeing and feeling the community and interacting with all of the wonderful team members here in the city. It occurred to me that this was a very strong and special team here, and they had an amazing work culture. Lopez recently joined the city of Goodyear as its new Parks and Recreation Director, having completed approximately 2 months in the role. He said that his experience has been even better than he imagined it would be, largely due to Goodyear's team being one of the strongest, most talented teams he's ever had the pleasure of working with. Stepping into the role, Lopez said one of his primary goals is to help Goodyear continue growing sustainably and responsibly. As new development brings increased demand for parks and recreational amenities, he hopes to balance those needs with maintaining the quality of the city's existing assets and services. For Lopez, proceeding successfully will also involve tailoring services to residents' needs and ensuring access throughout the community. Additionally, he hopes to ensure that trails are built safely and responsibly alongside expanding infrastructure and transportation corridors. Though he now serves Goodyear as the Parks and Recreation Director, Lopez moved from Kyle, Texas, where he lived for 2 years and worked as the Parks and Recreation Director. In his time, he also had the opportunity to work with Brian Langley, Goodyear's city manager, who also recently joined the city. I trust his leadership, and I know that he, as a city manager and leader of the organization, places a very high premium on parks and recreation and quality of life, Lopez said. It's nice to know that you'll be working with supportive leadership. That's always important for any team member. Beyond his time in Kyle, Lopez brings years of parks and recreation experience from other parts of Texas, including the city of Dallas. Like in Goodyear, Kyle experienced rapid population growth, giving Lopez experience balancing the maintenance of existing amenities with planning for the needs of an expanding community. Outside of his work with Goodyear Parks and Recreation, Lopez enjoys spending time outdoors himself. An avid cyclist, he rides both recreationally and competitively, and said biking has long been one of his favorite ways to stay active. Still a Texan at heart, one of his favorite destinations in Goodyear is Buc-ee's, where he can grab a brisket sandwich. As Lopez settles into his new role, several major parks and recreation projects are already on the horizon for Goodyear. Among the initiatives Lopez is looking forward to is the Bullard Wash Trail Extension, which will span approximately 3 miles from Goodyear Civic Square, or GSQ, to Goodyear Ballpark. He also named Phase 2 of the Goodyear Recreation Campus and Rehabilitation Efforts at Goodyear Community Park as some of the projects he is most excited about coming in the near future. Looking forward to his future in Goodyear, Lopez said he's thrilled to join the Parks and Recreation team and build upon the work that came before him. I think Goodyear has been in good hands for many years and has accomplished many amazing things for its residents, Lopez said. I just hope to continue to build on that solid foundation that's already been established by the existing team and also by my predecessors. And this concludes the article, Lopez Takes Helm of Goodyear Parks. Our next article is entitled, Sprouts to Anchor New Astraea Development. This article is by Jimmy Van Wickler, West Valley View staff writer. A new Sprouts farmer market is planned for Astraea, anchoring a lakeside retail development that officials and developers say will bring more grocery, dining, and service options closer to residents of the growing master planned community. Common Bond Development Group plans to develop the grocery-anchored shopping center along Astraea Parkway near North Lake. The first phase will include a 23,024-square-foot Sprouts Market, 9,200 square feet of in-line retail space, and a 3,000-square-foot standalone pad. A future second phase is expected to add between 16,000 and 20,000 square feet of additional retail and restaurant space near the lake. The project is targeted to break ground in the first quarter of 2027. Goodyear Mayor Joe Pizzillo and Astraea residents have been asking for additional grocery and retail choices for years. They want options, and unfortunately, they haven't had that, Pizzillo said. They've got Safeway, and there's nothing against Safeway or anything, but they wanted more options, and I think Sprouts is going to bring that for them. Pizzillo said landing Sprouts could also help spur additional development around North Lake, particularly restaurants and other retailers. Sprouts will be the anchor, he said. Sprouts will kick it off. Trevor Cohen of Common Bond Development Group said Sprouts played a significant role in determining where the project would be located. Common Bond is finishing another Sprouts-anchored project at Ellsworth and Ray Roads in Mesa, and the grocer identified Goodyear, specifically Astraea, as a market where it wanted to expand. Harvard Investments, the master developer of Astraea, already had property in the community designated for commercial development, allowing the groups to bring the project together. Cohen said the development is intended to address a shortage of commercial amenities in Astraea, with restaurants among the biggest needs. I would say quick service and full service restaurants that are of a better scale and brand, right higher end, Cohen said. I think they're waiting for their turn to have some of those retailers. He said Sprouts presence should make it easier to attract those businesses, along with service-oriented tenants that can handle residents' everyday needs. The leasing process for the remaining spaces is just beginning. Cohen said Common Bond has received preliminary interest but declined to identify potential tenants because discussions remain in their early stages. I don't want to mislead the community or the city or anyone with floating names of businesses now, and then in a year from now, none of those are in the project, Cohen said. The project's preliminary design by Suite 6 Architecture Plus Planning draws inspiration from its location near North Lake, the Yacht Club of Astraea, and Star Point Residents Club. Plans call for a maritime-inspired appearance, incorporating wood-like materials and architectural elements that reflect the lakeside setting. Cohen said the design is still being refined with the city. We are trying to embrace, to your point, not only the lake, but the yacht club branding, Cohen said. Pizzillo said fitting the development into the character of Astraea is important. I think that's critical to make sure that it blends into the North Lake and what goes on out there, he said. Common Bond is also planning the center as a more pedestrian-friendly development than a conventional shopping center. Cohen said wider walkways, multiple pedestrian routes, enhanced landscaping, and upgraded hardscape finishes are intended to make walking through the property more inviting. The connection to North Lake is expected to become more prominent during the project's second phase. Phase 1 is planned to include additional parking geared toward lake visitors. For phase two, Common Bon is considering elevated restaurant patios overlooking the lake, additional pedestrian connections, and a possible viewing area extending toward the water. Those concepts remain preliminary. Cohen said Common Bon intends to complete the initial development and evaluate market demand before determining when to begin the second phase. If demand is particularly strong, however, an additional building could potentially be moved forward sooner. Growth in Estrella and across the West Valley was a critical factor in the project, Cohen said. He noted that the community's growing population, coupled with relatively limited commercial competition, made the area attractive for a specialty grocer. For residents who currently leave Estrella for groceries and other services, Cohen said bringing those businesses closer could also mean spending less time driving. "We're just going to, hopefully, build an amenity and a shopping center that will make their lives a little bit easier," he said. The project could also generate a significant economic return for Goodyear. Cohen said an analysis by Common Bon estimates Phase 1 could generate approximately $5 million to $6 million in construction and sales-related tax revenue over 10 years. He estimated Phase 2 could contribute another $4 million to $5 million during that period, putting the combined potential at roughly $10 million. Cohen said those figures are estimates and that he had not quantified the number of jobs the development could create. Pozzillo said the development fits into Goodyear's broader effort to bring amenities and gathering places closer to residents as the city grows. He said Sprouts is something residents have wanted and described the project as the beginning of additional opportunities for Estrella. Looking forward, Pozzillo said he expects the community to continue adding shopping, dining, and other amenities around its existing natural features. "It's a beautiful place, number one," Pozzillo said. "You got the lake, you got the mountains in the background. The more amenities you add, the more people are going to like it." And this concludes the article entitled "Sprouts to Anchor New Estrella Development." Our next article is entitled "Memorial Run Honors Police Canines," written by Joshua Fenty, West Valley View staff writer. For Jay Nix, some of the most vital members of any police department have four legs and fur. "Like any officer," he said, "police canines put their lives on the line every day and sometimes lose them. Every year, these dogs are putting their life on the line to ultimately save the ones that we're out here serving, as well as the officers that are utilizing them to help them do this job," said Nix, president of Canines United. "That sacrifice isn't going unnoticed." To honor police canines that died in the line of duty, national nonprofit organization Canines United will host its 7th annual memorial run on Tuesday, September 1st, National Police Canine Day. The event calls on law enforcement personnel and communities across the country to participate in a 9K, 5K, or 1 mile run. Canines United uses the funds from the event to support active duty police canines, helping secure advanced training, safety equipment, heat alarms, kennels, and other equipment. This year's memorial honors 23 police canines that died in the line of duty during 2025, including but not limited to Arizona, Canine Raven, Tucson Police Department, California, Canine Spike, Burbank Police Department, Texas, Canine Chico, Bourne Police Department, Canine Ozzie, McKinney Police Department. Departments in Florida, Georgia, Hawaii, Ohio, South Carolina, Tennessee, Maine, Minnesota, Missouri, New Mexico, North Carolina, Virginia, and West Virginia are also remembering canines who died in the line of duty. Participants can register online for the run at canineunited.org. And that's the letter K, the number 9, S, united.org. McKinney Police Department's canine Ozzie is among the four-legged officers who is being remembered on August 10th. Nick said that Ozzie worked with the department for a little over a year when he was shot in the line of duty. It was a barricaded suspect in a hotel room, he explained. Ozzie was deployed in this room to take the suspect into custody, and the suspect ended up shooting him, and he ultimately succumbed to those wounds. Due to the demanding nature of the duties the canines fulfill, it is not a role undertaken by just any dog, Nix explained. Canines are from specialized bloodlines and carefully selected working breeds that go through extensive training in order to help track and apprehend subjects, locate lost children and elderly people, and use their noses to detect guns, bombs, and other dangers. He said they're bred to possess abilities that most dogs do not have and regularly enter harm's way to save their partner officers. German Shepherds and Belgian Malinois tend to be the dogs closely associated with police work. Nick said that other breeds work with the department as well. Canine units often employ single-purpose dogs in airports and schools to complete tasks such as drug detection and can be breeds as seemingly unconventional as Golden Labradors. Beyond serving as Canines United's president, Nix is a 26-year law enforcement veteran who spent the majority of his career training and working with police dogs. He was the canine unit commander for the Marion County Sheriff's Office in Florida. He recalled the first time he experienced the loss of a canine from his own agency and described the experience as sobering. I remember vividly the first time I watched the body cam video of the handler that worked for me, who was involved in a very violent situation with a suspect who had made up his mind that he was not going to prison and that he was going to do his best to kill that officer that day, Nick said. That dog sacrificially reacted to the moment without a thought in the world for its own well-being. No doubt, no question allowed that handler to go home to his wife and his daughter. For the Canines United president, the purpose of the memorial run is to make sure that police dogs are not viewed as merely statistics. As living beings who gave their lives to protect their human partners and members of the community, Nick said their sacrifice matters. We don't want those dogs' sacrifice to just be viewed as a statistic, he said. We want that to be viewed as a real sacrifice that a living, breathing animal made so that a human could go home to their family and so that a community could be safer. We never want that to go unrecognized. And that concludes the article, Memorial Run Honors Police Canines. And that concludes news from westvalleynews.com. Now, let's move on to news from the Wickenburg Sun. The next article is, Tourism Campaign Delivers Strong Results, Sets Course for Fiscal Year 2026-27. Wickenburg's tourism marketing campaign generated more than 5.1 million digital impressions, over 70,000 website visits, and more than 2,400 attributed in-person visits during fiscal year 2025-26, according to an annual review presented to the Wickenburg Town Council by Wasatch Mountains Media. The presentation highlighted a year of strong digital performance while outlining a proposed $65,000 marketing strategy designed to build on those results during FY 2026-27. From October 2025 through June 2026, the campaign produced 5.12 million advertising impressions, 70,143 website visits of people exploring Wickenburg, and 38,256 ad clicks. Using foot traffic attribution technology, the campaign also tracked more than 2,438 visitors who were exposed to digital advertising before visiting Wickenburg. Website traffic peaked during the winter tourism season, reaching more than 17,600 visits in January and nearly 15,800 in February, reflecting heightened interest during Arizona's busiest travel months. The campaign also outperformed tourism industry benchmarks across multiple digital channels. Google search advertising achieved a 21.26% click-through rate in Arizona, nearly three times the reported industry average of 7.83%. The presentation also identified the Phoenix metropolitan area, including Surprise, Mesa, Scottsdale, and surrounding West Valley communities, as Wickenburg's strongest regional audience for weekend and overnight travel. Beyond Arizona, Las Vegas and Los Angeles emerged as the leading out-of-state markets, with analytics indicating those visitors often stay longer and spend more during their trips. The report also noted an emerging trend in travel planning: artificial intelligence platforms. A major addition to the upcoming marketing effort will be promotion of the new Vulture Mountain Recreation Area, including its UTV trail system and RV park. The presentation describes the recreation area as a significant economic asset capable of attracting overnight visitors while capitalizing on growing interest in off-highway vehicle recreation, RV travel, and outdoor adventure. Marketing efforts will target UTV enthusiasts, RV travelers, outdoor recreation audiences, and Phoenix area residents seeking weekend getaways. Campaign tactics include pre-opening awareness, grand opening promotions, and year-round advertising integrated into the broader tourism campaign. The presentation also outlined optional investment opportunities should additional funding become available. Recommendations include expanding connected TV and YouTube advertising, increasing social media reach, investing in search engine optimization for outwickenburgway.com, and developing media relations with Phoenix television stations to generate earned media coverage. According to the report, these additional investments could significantly expand Wickenburg's visibility while complementing the town's existing digital advertising strategy. The FY 2026-27 proposal is designed to build on the previous year's performance by refining audience targeting, expanding awareness in key markets, and promoting new attractions intended to increase visitation, overnight stays, and tourism-related economic activity. And that's all the time we have for the article, Tourism Campaign Delivers Strong Results, Sets Course for Fiscal Year 2026-27. Next up, obituaries. Judy Ann Simmons passed away August 3rd. Next up, business. August business after-hours mixer canceled. Please note that there will not be a business after-hours mixer in August. The Wickenburg Chamber of Commerce will be taking a brief break from our monthly networking event and looks forward to welcoming everyone back at our next business after-hours mixer in September. 47th Annual Wickenburg Bluegrass Festival. The Wickenburg Chamber of Commerce is proud to present the 47th Annual Wickenburg Bluegrass Festival, November 13th through 15th, at the Everett Bowman Rodeo Arena, located at 935 Constellation Road, less than 2 miles from historic downtown Wickenburg. As one of the oldest bluegrass festivals in the Southwest, the event offers a weekend of live music, featured bands, food vendors, a beer booth, and plenty of fun. Visitors planning to attend for the weekend can take advantage of on-site camping. Camping information, availability, and registration details are available at wickenburgchamber.com/bluegrass-festival. Limited covered grandstand seating is available, and attendees are encouraged to bring lawn chairs. Outside alcohol, food, and coolers are not permitted. Pets are also prohibited, with the exception of service dogs. Volunteers needed. The Wickenburg Chamber of Commerce is seeking volunteers to serve as visitor center information specialists. Volunteers welcome guests, provide recommendations, and help visitors discover Wickenburg's history, culture, attractions, and local business. Whether you're a longtime resident or simply enjoy meeting new people, this is a rewarding opportunity to share your knowledge and help create a memorable experience for those visiting our community. Contact the Chamber to learn more about volunteer opportunities. Next up, this week in Wickenburg history. 70 years ago, August 17, 1956. 67 Market and Cafe has 9th anniversary. Mr. and Mrs. John Burgess this week are observing the 9th anniversary of their 67 Market and Cafe out on the California Highway. They came here from San Diego 10 years ago, purchased a 100 by 200 foot lot, and erected what was then the 67 Cafe and also their home at the rear of the lot. 9 years ago, when they built the cafe, the only other places of business out on the highway were Ship's Seaside Station, now Blakely's, and the Shell Station of Sid and Art Redford. The nearest other business was Double J Court. In the process of building were the Sun Valley Motel, the Westerner Court, and Many Feathers, which was a cafe in the beginning. 50 years ago, August 19, 1976, local athletes honored by magazine. Wickenburg High School athletes Mundo Reza and John Ullinger have been selected as prep track and field athletes of the year for 1976 by Coach and Athlete magazine. Criteria by which they were nominated include athletic ability, including statistics and overall performance, sportsmanship, and personal leadership displayed during the current season. Sponsored by Coach and Athlete magazine, Athlete of the Year is an annual honor roll paying tribute to more than 900,000 track and field athletes across the nation. And 10 years ago, August 17, 2016, WPD issues body-worn cameras to all officers. Wickenburg police are now rolling while they are rolling. On August 11th, every officer on the force was issued a body-worn camera, BWC, for duty. Chief Les Brown, who came on board in January, said one of the first directives he received from town council was to undertake a project to bring BWCs to the department. Having come from a large police department in Albuquerque, where cameras have been used since 2009, Brown said, "It wasn't much of a stretch for me to get this going." And before we cover the pet of the week, I just want to remind our listeners that you can hear Sun Sounds on your Echo Dot or smart home device. Now, our pet of the week comes to us from the Humane Society of Wickenburg. And we have this week a Terrier Jack Russell mix named Jasper. This handsome boy weighs 17.3 pounds. He is 1 year, 5 months old. He has an intake date of August 3rd and adoption fee of $300. His bio says, "Meet Jasper." Jasper is a repeat escape artist. But don't let that fool you. This handsome guy is full of love, personality, and a zest for life. He's looking for an active family that can keep both his mind and body busy. A secure yard is a must, along with plenty of attention, exercise, and adventures. Give Jasper something to do, and he'll be your happiest, most loyal companion. As if he wasn't charming enough, Jasper was recently spotted by a local talent agent who thinks he has the perfect look for commercials and advertisements. Who knows? You might just be rescuing Wickenburg's next four-legged movie star. Those interested in adopting Jasper or any of the other available pets can reach the Humane Society of Wickenburg by phone at 928-684-8801. That concludes news from the Wickenburg Sun. I'm Karen Kelly, and you're listening to the West Valley News Digest on Sun Sounds of Arizona. You can take Sun Sounds with you. You can get our stream and on demand on our new Sun Sounds of Arizona app for Apple and Android phones. For the remaining time, I will be reading news from Glendale, Peoria, and Surprise from yourvalley.net, the online editions of the Glendale, Peoria, Surprise, Independence, the Glendale Star, and the Peoria Times. So let's continue. Our next article is entitled, Jilly and Mark Sculptures Arrive for Year at Westgate in Glendale. This article comes to us from the Glendale Independent. Westgate Entertainment District announced on August 18th the arrival of two public sculptures by renowned British-Australian artists Jilly and Mark, which will be on display for 1 year at Fountain Park and Water Dance Plaza. The installations feature two of the artists' most well-known interactive works, the White Rhino Bench of Friendship, to be installed at Fountain Park. The giraffe and chimpanzee were on a wild ride to a safer place with Rabbit Woman and Dog Man, to be installed at Water Dance Plaza. The sculptors invite visitors to sit, interact, take photographs, and become part of the artwork. Called the most successful and prolific creators of public art in New York's history by the New York Times, Jilly and Mark have installed public artworks in more than 250 cities worldwide. At the heart of every Jilly and Mark sculpture are their characters, Rabbit Woman and Dog Man, unlikely soulmates who symbolize acceptance, unity, and the belief that love has the power to overcome differences. These characters journey alongside endangered animals, encouraging people to see wildlife not as something separate from humanity. The White Rhino Bench of Friendship highlights one of the world's most endangered animals. The sculpture serves as both a place to gather and a reminder of the need to protect vulnerable species. At Water Dance Plaza, the giraffe and chimpanzee were on a wild ride to a safer place with Rabbit Woman and Dog Man, celebrates adventure, hope, and coexistence. The tandem bicycle sculpture encourages visitors to join Rabbit Woman, Dog Man, a giraffe, and a chimpanzee on their symbolic journey. Inspired by Jilly's childhood in Africa and Mark's work with conservationist Dr. Jane Goodall, the artists have dedicated their careers to giving wildlife a voice through public art. By bringing these sculptures to Glendale, Westgate continues its vision of enhancing public spaces. These two installations will remain on public display for about a year. Central to Jilly and Mark's mission is their charity, the Love the Last Wildlife Fund, which raises funds, awareness, and support for some of the world's most endangered species. And this concludes the article, Jilly and Mark Sculptures Arrive for Year at Westgate in Glendale. Our next article is also from the Glendale Independent, entitled Paddle Tech Partners with Glendale Chicken and Pickle. Chicken and Pickle recently announced a partnership with Paddle Tech to make pickleball more accessible to players across the country, including the Glendale location that serves the West Valley. Chicken and Pickle has a restaurant and pickleball courts in the Westgate Entertainment District at 9330 West Hanna Lane. It opened in summer 2023. It combines a casual, chef-driven restaurant and sports bar that has pickleball courts and a variety of yard games. The business just finished its fourth annual back-to-school drive, benefiting Glendale Elementary School District. Guests will have access to Paddle Tech's paddles for demos and rentals, giving patrons the opportunity to try different paddle types during real play to determine which paddle is right for them. Guests now are able to purchase these paddles on site. Paddle Tech's roster of professional athletes will host clinics, exhibitions, and community events at chicken and pickle venues throughout the year. And this concludes the article, Paddle Tech Partners with Glendale Chicken and Pickle. Our next article is from the Peoria Independent. Peoria receives Gold Award from International Economic Development Council. The city of Peoria has earned international recognition for its leadership in economic development, receiving the Gold Award from the International Economic Development Council in the 2026 Excellence in Economic Development Awards. Peoria was recognized in the Innovative Economic Development category for communities with populations between 200,000 and 500,000 for its groundbreaking work on the Peoria Innovation Core, according to a news release. The award recognizes Peoria's bold vision, strategic planning, and collaborative partnerships that have positioned the city into one of the nation's fastest-growing centers for advanced manufacturing and semiconductor innovation, the release states. The Peoria Innovation Core represents a once-in-a-generation opportunity that is reshaping our community and positioning Peoria as a global destination for innovation, said Mayor Jason Beck. This international recognition reflects the vision of our city council, the dedication of our staff, and the outstanding partnerships that made this transformative project possible. Together, we are building an innovation ecosystem that will create economic opportunity for generations to come. The IEDC award adds to a growing list of national honors recognizing the PIC and the city's successful recruitment of Amkor Technologies' Advanced Semiconductor Packaging and Test Campus. Earlier this year, Site Selection magazine named the Amkor project the number one economic development deal in North America, citing the project's capital investment and job creation. Amkor announced plans to expand its investment in Peoria from an initial $2 billion to $7 billion, planning to create approximately 3,000 high-wage jobs with an average annual salary of $90,000. And this concludes the article, Peoria Receives Gold Award from International Economic Development Council. Let's continue. Our next article is from the Surprise Independent. Surprise Already Looking for Tax Prep Volunteers by Independent News Media. The city of Surprise needs volunteers to help low to moderate income families and individuals prepare their taxes. The Volunteer Income Tax Assistance Program is sponsored by the IRS and provides free tax return preparation services through a large network of short-term volunteers. Volunteers are not required to have prior tax preparation experience. Training will be provided. There is a large variety of volunteer opportunities within the VITA program, including the following. Tax Preparer. Prepares basic or advanced 1040 tax returns and related schedules for eligible taxpayers. Interviews taxpayers to determine if all income, deductions, and allowable credits are claimed. Greeter Screener. Greets taxpayers to create a welcoming atmosphere and performs the screening process of all taxpayers prior to moving them to the tax preparer. Interpreter. Provides bilingual assistance for Spanish-speaking and ASL clients seeking tax preparation services. VITA information sessions are available at Surprise Resource Center, Riverboat Bingo, and online. Sessions begin today, August 22nd, and go through November 5th. Visit turnanewleaf.org/VITA, V-I-T-A, or email westvalleyvita@turnanewleaf.org. And this completes the article, Surprise, Already Looking for Tax Prep Volunteer. Our next article is from the Peoria Times. It's entitled Felons Family Continues Deer Valley Legacy by Joshua Fenty, Peoria Times staff writer. For father-daughter duo John and Emmy Felons, saying that Deer Valley High feels like a family takes on a more literal meaning than it would for most of the school's teachers and staff. In many ways, their family tree was planted and continues to grow at Deer Valley High School. "I pretty much grew up on this campus," Emmy said. "I remember being a little kid, waiting for my dad to get done with whatever he had to do for work, hanging out with the secretaries while they were feeding me licorice, and going to my grandma's classroom and watching movies while I'd wait to go home." I knew my way around before I was even a freshman. Being here has always been like a second home for me. This year marks Emmy's first as a full-time teacher at Deer Valley High School, where she previously returned as a student teacher and volleyball coach after graduating in 2022. She currently teaches reading and math intervention classes, though Emmy said she would eventually like to teach English. As a student, Emmy said that her favorite teacher was English teacher Katie Harkema. And she also trained as a student teacher under English Department Chair Allison McGowan. In addition to teaching, Emmy coaches Deer Valley's freshman girls volleyball team after playing indoor and beach volleyball during her own years as a student. Though she loves her job, Emmy wasn't always absolutely certain that she wanted to become a teacher. She said that she loved writing and considered a career in journalism before ultimately choosing to become a teacher. Emmy's mother, Katie, would jokingly encourage her daughter to make sure she understood what she was getting herself into. But Emmy is not the only teacher in her family. Far from it. Her maternal grandparents, Larry and Debbie Eubanks, were both educators at Deer Valley High School. Their three children, including Katie, all attended Deer Valley High School, and Katie's siblings would go on to pursue careers in education as well. John, a Deer Valley alumni, married Katie and returned to the school to teach history and coach basketball, baseball, and football. Their children, Emmy and Jackson, spent much of their early childhood on campus and would return as students for their high school education. While Jackson is an aspiring firefighter, he is currently studying history education to become a teacher as an alternative career path. Serving as both a teacher and coach is something that Emmy shares with her father and late grandfather. For several decades, Larry worked at Deer Valley High School as a teacher and baseball coach. Following his death in 2024, John said the family held his memorial service at the school, which drew hundreds of people from the Deer Valley High community. To honor his life and legacy, the school also named the baseball field after him. That's where you start to see the big picture of the legacy, John said. The Eubanks family has been part of this school's history. John's chapter as an educator in that history began when he returned to Deer Valley as a teacher and coach during the 1993-94 school year. As a student athlete who mainly played football and dabbled in basketball, John was inspired by his coaches who also taught history to pursue a similar career. The classes he is teaching this year include world history and advanced placement human geography. When his children were growing up and finding opportunity in sports, John said that he stepped away from coaching so that he could be there for them. Emmy and Jackson becoming students, he said, re-energized him and helped him rediscover the excitement he felt as a new teacher over 30 years ago. He said he found himself being excited to attend football games and other recreational activities Deer Valley had to offer. It's not just in your classroom that you become passionate about being a teacher. It's being involved in the campus and all the things about being part of a school, he said. For John, the experience became even more special when Emmy decided that she wanted to teach at Deer Valley High School as well. Though his classroom is in the 300 building, he said he makes frequent trips to the 600 building, responding to a call for help from his daughter. At the end of the day, John said, "I'm still Dad." Their time as colleagues has not come without its hijinks and laughs. Recently, the teachers at Deer Valley High were issued their ID cards for the year. John said that because he does not have a class during the first hour of the day, he was one of the first to go get his. He gave his last name to the student aide, received a card, and handed it to the photographer to have his picture printed on it. After the process was completed, he put the card away without taking notice of it. The next day, he realized that the ID with his picture printed on it reads Emmy Felons. All the front office ladies were like, "You need to keep it that way. You cannot change that." And I'm like, "All right, here we go," John said with a laugh. He explained that Emmy's ID turned out correctly because she gave her first and last name, and the office workers, realizing they didn't have an ID for her, created one with her name, much to John's disappointment. He said he was hoping she would get the card with his name on it, but apparently fate had other plans. Looking forward to her first year as a full-fledged teacher, Emmy said that she is focused on showing up for her students in every way that she can. I don't take it lightly that their parents are trusting me with them for the hour that I have them in class, she said. I'm not your mom, but I am responsible for you when you are here in my room. I'm here to protect you, and I'm here to help you, whatever that means. I love them all no matter what, even on the hard days. For John, sharing this experience with his children has been wonderful, but he made sure never to force it upon them. Reflecting on Emmy and Jackson's childhoods, he said it was important that they make the decision to attend Deer Valley High School for themselves. His youngest daughter, now 9, will be given that same choice when the time comes. After more than 3 decades at Deer Valley, John says he has thought about the mark he hopes to leave on the school. Knowing Emmy made the choice to return as an educator for herself, he said he feels he has already succeeded. If I can leave my mark, to me, I've already done so by having my daughter come back and teach here, John said. The idea that this school has meant enough for her to want to come back and coach here and teach here is pretty special. And that concludes the article entitled Felon's Family Continues Deer Valley Legacy. Our next article is from the Peoria Independent. Peoria Unified appoints new director of technology. Peoria Unified School District has appointed Ezra Williams as their new director of technology. Williams brings more than 20 years of experience supporting technology in Arizona for public schools. He most recently served as the director of technology for Cave Creek Unified School District, where he modernized network infrastructure across 9 locations, led a district-wide systems migration, and strengthened cybersecurity. Previously, Williams served 8 years as the director of technology for Pendergast Elementary School District, supporting 9,000 students and 1,000 employees across 17 locations. During that time, he led the deployment of more than 14,000 student devices to reach a 1-to-1 student-to-device ratio and guided the district's move to a cloud environment. He began his career in public education in 2003 as a network administrator for Dysart Unified School District, where he built and supported network systems at 27 sites, serving 23,000 students and 3,000 staff members. He holds an Associate of Occupational Studies in Electronics and earned Dean's Honors in both Electronics and Digital Electronics. And that concludes the article, Peoria Unified appoints new Director of Technology. Next up, we'll cover an event coming in today. This is from the Peoria Independent. Cowboys at Cardinals, 7 p.m. today, Saturday, August 22nd, State Farm Stadium, 1 Cardinals Drive, Glendale. Cardinals fans have an early assignment. Don't let the place turn blue and silver. Arizona welcomes the Cowboys for its preseason home finale this Saturday in Glendale. The game offers Valley fans one more summer look at the Cardinals before the regular season, with the added incentive of trying to make sure the famously well-traveled Cowboys faithful don't sound like the home crowd. And really, football's return means more than what happens after kickoff. It means jerseys coming out of closets, grills firing up, and tailgating returning to the great lawn, even if August in Arizona isn't exactly Lambeau weather. Shade helps, water is wise, and an ice chest full of cold beer has been known to make triple-digit temperatures slightly more negotiable. So arrive early, tailgate responsibly, and remind Cowboys fans exactly whose parking lot they wandered into. And we'll conclude with the last article, which comes to us today from the Peoria Times. entitled Manuel is Back 2026, Around the Bloomin' Town by Judy Bloom, Peoria Times columnist. Manuel, welcome back. Our sweet and friendly tarantula has just arrived at my friend Diane's house in New River for his annual visit. 20-plus years have gone by since he first sauntered up the driveway and made a pattern of staying with Diane for 3 months at a time. Manuel did not show up last year, and we all feared the worst. It's a scary world out there. Sometimes, dear readers, we just need a friend. A friend who will walk through a scorching desert, escape the perils of predators, suffer through the wind, rain, and dust of monsoons with no map, GPS, or cell phone, just to come back home. So Manuel made the journey and strutted through Diane's open door to once again grace her life with his presence. Diane has given us thrilling reports about Manuel and his antics. You see, this is the routine. He shows up, unannounced, and then lounges around the house for 3 months. On the ceiling, occasionally over her bed, in the shower stall, stay dirty that day, on the kitchen counter, eat out, and sometimes just resting on the back of the sofa, keep standing. In other words, Manuel makes himself at home. One year, Manuel decided to crawl inside Diane's big Velcro hair curlers and was found sleeping like a baby. Imagine Diane's shock when she went to put a curler in her hair to discover a tarantula curled up inside. Diane screamed, and Manuel just walked indignantly away to find another secret spot. And so it goes. When you let a spider have the rule of the house, tiptoe carefully and be prepared. Wear your hair straight. Here is the story from the beginning. Our Spidey, fondly called Manuel, likes to arrive in late July and leaves in early October. The arachnid specialist at the Phoenix Zoo speculates that this tarantula has an established migration pattern, which has been likely imprinted into the offspring. And since a female tarantula can live 25 years, males usually 10 to 12 years, it might be safe to say that this furry little beast is actually a female or an offspring of Manuel. It all started one July day when Diane noticed something with a big belly and hairy legs walking into her house through an open sliding door. No, it wasn't her neighbor. Yikes! A spider of the biggest, furriest kind was strutting around her kitchen. Consider the kind heart and calm disposition that it takes to open your home to a big, fat spider. Not a pet nor a companion, just a little creature of God that strolled innocently in through an open door. After checking out the premises and the occupant, he liked what he saw and kept coming back. Yes, there are problems in the world, but with Manuel's arrival, it is a reminder that the earth is spinning on its proper axis and the stars are lining up just right. Life is good because one happy eight-legged critter has come home. Dear readers, if you see one of our Arizona wonders, the tarantula, please look kindly and do not be afraid. They make perfect house guests. And that concludes the article, Manuel is Back 2026. Well, that's all the time we have for today. Thank you for joining me for the West Valley News Digest. Remember, if you miss a program, you can get it on demand at sunsounds.org/broadcast info and audio/on demand. I'm Karen Kelly, your Sun Sounds volunteer. Please stay tuned for more great programming here on Sun Sounds of Arizona.